We're doing a little bit different this morning. Thank you. This weekend is it's Veterans Day. So I want to honor all the veterans. If you have served in the armed forces or our first responder or police and firemen, please stand up so we can honor you. Thank you. Thank you for your services. Thank you for your love that you have shown us throughout the years. Thank you so much. Just a quick announcement. We need help with our Kids Kingdom classes. If you would like to volunteer to teach our kids, please talk to Scott Dang or some of the supervisors. We desperately need your help. And so our kids is our future. So we have to invest in them. We got to give them our best. And you guys are the best. So volunteer and help our kids. Another announcement is this Wednesday, we will not meet here midweek. We will meet in your family group. And so don't come here. If you come here, you'll be all by yourself. And so don't come here. We're meeting in family group. And if you don't know which family group you're in, talk to the person who brought you, and I'm sure they will want you to join them this week. So turn your Bible over to Mark chapter 10. You guys believe Christmas is 6 weeks away? Are you ready? You know, I was sitting down with my daughter at Starbucks. We were on a date the other day, and I started smelling this, you know, pumpkin spice latte, and people are ordering. They even have music, Christmas music playing now. You know, it seems like they jumped from Halloween to Christmas, right? They skipped over Thanksgiving. So just to let you know, Christmas is around the corner. But there was a TV show on NBC. Started in 2004, called The Biggest Loser. And so this show, on premises of this show, is they get the people who are there trying to lose weight, right? They're trying to lose weight, the most amount of weight they can lose percentage-wise in their body. And what they win is $250,000, okay, for a certain period of time. And the number one guy, his name is Michael Ventrella. He started off with 526 pounds. And he ended up at 264 pounds. That's a little over 50% of his body weight. Amazing. Amazing. You know, so this morning I want to talk about the biggest loser. You know, Jesus also saw this one guy that he encountered in Mark chapter 10 here. If you're with me, Mark chapter 10. And you know, Michael Ventrella was an amazing guy. I think it was a positive thing. But this young person that we're going to read about today, you know, he's a loser in a different way. And we're going to find out what it is. All right, let's read in chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he said. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his word. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brother or sisters, mothers or father or children or field for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amazing passage. You know, in Matthew described him as young. So here's a young man. And then Luke, he talks about being a ruler. He's a young man and a ruler. He was a magistrate. He had a position. And he ran towards Jesus. And he fell down on his knees. And he asked the million-dollar question, right? The million-dollar question. How do I get eternal life? That's the question of all time. How do I get eternal life? It wasn't, how do I make more money? How do I become more richer? How can I rule these people? You know, he said, he went to the point. How do I get eternal life? That was his question. He was not afraid. People were there. He was not afraid to let people hear him ask Jesus. But he had obviously one question that he wanted Jesus to answer. And you know, Jesus answered him, the answer that Jesus gave him exactly what he wanted to hear. Jesus said, you know, you can have eternal life if you keep all the commandments. You can have eternal life if you keep all the commandments. I have 2 points here. Number one here is no one is good except God alone. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans, it says we've all fall short of the glory of God. Did you notice that Jesus only presented him the part of the Decalogue that deals with man-to-man relationship? But the other commandments have to do with God-to-man relationships. And this young man had failed miserably. Are you surprised? I was surprised when Jesus gave this answer. I'm like, what? What about grace? What about faith? But the truth is, Jesus says, hey, if you obey all the commands, you would be perfect. You'd be perfect. You would go to heaven if you were perfect. But the truth is, he neglected the other commandments. Had he kept all the Ten Commandments, he would have been perfect. But he was unable to keep all the other commandments. In Exodus chapter 20 here, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." He neglected this part. It says he went away sad because of his wealth. He had put his wealth over God. Wealth was his God. Gold and money and fame and being a ruler, he had put all these things before God. Therefore, making him not good. You know, it's funny sometimes how Jesus answered questions. You know, they ask him, "Hey, how do I hear and tell life? Good teacher." Jesus doesn't answer him. He's like, why do you call me good? There's no one good except God. And God alone. So if you break one, you break them all. No one is perfect except Jesus. You see, we cannot stand on our goodness. We cannot stand on our moral accomplishments, our good deeds, acts of kindness, generosity, reputation. We cannot stand on those things. Are we like this young ruler? We are just happy to be obeying only a few commandments. I've got this down. This guy was pretty good. Imagine I have never disobeyed my parents. Woo! I blew that one a long time ago. I have never lied. Oh my goodness. You know, I've never stolen anything. Guilty. This guy was great. He said, all these I've kept since I was a boy. See, are we like this young ruler where we only pat ourselves on a few commandments that we're good at? Well, I come to church. I come to midweek. I tithe. I give my money, Jesus. I help the children ministry, or I'm going to. I help people who are in need. I bring people a meal. I sacrifice my time and effort. It's almost like we're doing God a favor. Like, God, here, I'm at church. I'm here every midweek. I don't miss a midweek. Are we doing God a favor? Are we like this young ruler? See, God is not interested in the things you do. He's interested in who you are. Who are you? Perhaps there are idols in your life, like this young man, that you are not willing to tear down. You're not willing to set a fire, throw away, completely destroy. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's that relationship that you want so bad. Maybe it's your friends. You be careful who you hang out with. Friends can lead you astray. Maybe it's the addiction, the alcohols and the drugs that you go to. Maybe they're your idols. Maybe it's worldliness. You're so worldly as the day is long. Maybe you just go to parties. This makes me feel good. I'm going to go to parties. Why party with the dead when you can party with the living? Maybe it's you, yourself, and what you want. You got one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. What are your idols? What are your idols? To God, idols, idolatry is adultery. You know, Mark Batterson had this quote. It says, idolatry, anything or anyone that divert your attention from God, your affection for God, or your reliance on God. Anything that consumes more time and more money than your pursuit of God. That's idolatry. What are you unwilling to give up for Jesus? See, we'll never be good enough. But what am I willing to give up for Jesus? Turn your Bible over to Matthew 7 here. You guys are going to have to work a little bit with me. Matthew 7. We're starting verse 21. Matthew 7, 21 and 23. It says here, Jesus is talking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Evildoers. He called these guys evildoers. Evildoer is not a gray thing. Evildoer is a black and white thing. It's very clear. He says, away from me, you evildoers. I don't want to be at the end of my life, Jesus said, come to me and says, away from me, you evildoers. That would be the biggest loser. I would be the biggest loser. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? See, Jesus is not concerned about what we do and the things that we think. Is he really Lord of our life? Because the things we do should reflect the way that Jesus is in our life. Is he really Lord in our life? Is Jesus still Lord in your life for those who have said Jesus is Lord? Is Jesus really Lord in your life? You know, are you still a candidate for baptism today? If we were to count the cost with you, would we say, you're not ready yet? You need to go back and do these things and repent of these things. Or are you a candidate for baptism today? I've been rereading this book called Will the Heretics Please Stand Up by David Perkott. It's a very challenging book. And this book, at the end, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian. Because it's so convicting. Because what the first century church, the Christian back then, and the way that we are today is so different. Is your heart soft and broken about your sin? And to the parents, the truth is, parents, we will pay a price in our children and the generations to come. Because they are spiritually confused. Our kids are spiritually confused. They come to church and they hear a great message. And when they go home, they don't see Jesus living out at home. And they're confused. Mom and dad says they're Christians, but I don't see it. They're confused. And then one day we wonder why. Why did my children did not become Christians? Why did my children struggle? And really, it's their choice. But have we done everything we can? Have we stacked the deck on our favor, in Jesus' favor? Why would I want to follow your God, who you don't even follow, or have done nothing for you? We've passed down the law, and we didn't pass down the relationship. See, God is about relationship. You know, in 11 A.D., there was a French knight that formed an organization called the Knights Templar. And they were baptized in the church as well. But when they went down, they were immersed. When they went down to the water, their swords did not go down with them. Their swords stuck out of the water as they went down. And what they're saying is, Jesus, you can have all of me except my sword. This sword, when I'm on the battlefield, it's mine. You can have all of me except this sword. And they did a lot of bad things in the name of Christianity. You know, I can think about us. And we can go down to water baptism, but Jesus, my wallet, my money. You can have all of me except my money. You can tell a lot by a person, by their schedule and their checkbook. You can tell. Or we can hold up, maybe it's our laptop. Maybe it's our home. Maybe it's our phone. Jesus, you can have all of me except this. My 401ks. Or what's left of it. My egos. My status. We're like, Jesus, you can have all of me except this part of me. See, no one is good except God alone. No one is good. My second point here is then come follow me. And in the age to come, eternal life in verse 30. You know, Jesus offered this young man the only solution to his question. Because he was not good according to the law. Because he was never going to be good enough to inherit eternal life, Jesus gave him the only solution. Come, follow me. He says, go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Then come and follow me. And it says he went away sad because he was not willing to part with his wealth. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Why did this guy not do what Jesus asked him to do? Let's read. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 9. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Luke chapter 9, we're starting verse 23 here. Then he said to them all, then he said to all of us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? This is what it means to follow Jesus. To deny yourself and to take up your cross daily. He says, you know, if you're trying to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me, you will save it. What good is it if you gain the whole world? What good is it if you have all the money in the world, all the fame, and you die? You forfeit your soul. So that's no good. You will be the biggest loser. This is Matthew here. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It says, come to me, who you are weary and burdened. I don't know about you, but I'm weary. I've grown weary. I'm trying to stay there. Jesus, come. Come to me. Don't go to somewhere else. Come to me. See, Jesus is the answer to your problem. To every problem that you have, Jesus is the answer. The goal is to be like Jesus. The goal is not to just come to church. The goal is to be like Jesus, to have his heart, to have his compassion, to speak like him, to act like him, to love like him. The goal is to be like Jesus. The goal is not simply come to church. Don't walk away sad. Nothing is more important than your soul. Are you trying to be like Jesus? Or are you just living? Do you think Jesus would say the words that you say? Would Jesus go to places that you go? Will he hang out with friends that you hang out with? Will he listen to the music that you listen to? You know, I used to work for a company in Norcross, and at this time of the year, we're usually planning our Christmas party. And this party, it gets wild. You know, you start off, people, they come in, they're cordial, and they say, hi, how are you? And then they start drinking, right? And it goes from cordial to just all over the place. And usually I'm leaving in about 20 minutes, you know? That's when they give out the bonus check. And so I'm like, hey, thank you, you know, good to see you. I'll see you later. You know, this one year, I won the Employee of the Year award, right? And they were going to give it out at this Christmas party. And so my boss comes to me, and my boss said, hey, stick around. We have something for you. I'm like, in about 20 minutes, or you mean longer, you know? He said, stick around. And it got bad. And the place starts serving water. They're like, you guys are way over. They start serving water to all of us. And you know, that's usually how it goes. So I laugh. And so she presented, you know, John Yang with the Employee of the Year. Where's he at? He's gone? And my buddy's like, you know, John, you should have been there. They wanted you to give a speech and all this stuff. And I said, you should have gone and accepted for me, you know, on my behalf and thank the Academy or something. You know, like, just go up there and do that for me. But, you know, and that's the world. That's the world that we live in. That these parties, are you in there with them? Or are you like, no, I cannot be part of this. You know, they used to rent out hotels for us because they were so drunk, they couldn't drive home. So they rent a hotel that you can just go in and sleep and go from there. And that's how they party. Are you trying to be like Jesus? That's my question. Are you trying to be like Jesus? Come, follow me. I don't know where you're at today. Some of us are dealing with family loss. Some of us are dealing with our health. Some of us are dealing with our children, and it's hard and it's difficult. Some of us are dealing with finances. You know, Christmas is around the corner and I don't have a dime. Some of us are dealing with very difficult family situation, and I don't know where you're at. But are you trying to be like Jesus? Are you still going to be like Jesus? Or are you going to let the world come upon you? He says, come, follow me. So everything you have, come, follow me. I have the answer for you. Don't let situation, people, disagreement, misunderstanding, hardship take you away from God. It should drive you towards God, not away from God. It should drive you towards Him. Fight the good fight to the very last breath that you have. Hold on to the end. It is worth it. There's no other way. Don't be the biggest loser. There is no other way except Jesus. And those of you who are visiting, I encourage you to study the Bible with those who brought you. You know, Jesus said He's coming back. He said He will. And I believe Him. One day when this is all over, we will see Jesus face to face. Will He say, good and faithful servant? Or will He say, away from me, you evildoers. I don't even know you. Are we going to be the biggest winner or the biggest loser at that day? I pray that we will be the biggest winners, that we will walk with Jesus, that we will spend eternity with Him. So I pray as we go into this holiday, don't get too worked up. Don't spend all your money because January comes, you got to pay it back. Stay focused in God. Trust in God. Be the biggest winner and not the biggest loser. Thank you so much.
This one, yeah. Okay, so we got a couple announcements. First, just outside and to the right, when you exit the auditorium, there's going to be a table over there. This is our brother Sujit and his wife. They are raising money for the church in Bangladesh so that they can have a marriage retreat. Bangladesh is a Muslim country, and so we really want to support our church over there. And help them to have this. And they may also, if they get any extra money, I forget what he said that they were going to do with it, but it's, you know, they've got plans, so we want to help them. Next, singles. All the singles, I believe, are meeting in the band room at 12:30 after service. Also, if you do go to the table out there, go straight there because they're only going to be there for a little while. I think they're leaving around 12:30. So do that first and then fellowship if you plan on going. And then we're going to pray. There's not going to be a closing song, so you guys will be dismissed after we pray. All right. Father God, we thank you for this message today and this reminder, Lord, that nothing that keeps us away from you is worth being kept away from you. Lord God, help us to examine ourselves, examine our hearts, so that we don't walk away like the rich young ruler, holding on to these things that separate us from you for eternity. God, please give us wisdom, please give us strength, please give us the faith to be able to lay these things down and follow you wholeheartedly. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.